中间算。
So, 我先老总来讲啥？
啊，你这个
声音比较小。哈哈哈哈哈。兄弟，So first of all, let me thank the organizer, especially Patrick, for giving me this nice opportunity to present our recent activity. So first, let me apologize, even though this is a spin liquid workshop. So this is for classical valves. So some part of the problem is the quantum mechanical, especially the conduction electron coupled to this spin texture is quantum mechanical. So the spin structure itself is totally classical in my talk. So let me list my collaborators. This is a big group of people, both theoretical people and experimental people. Especially, I have a very strong collaboration with Maxim and also my student, Iwasaki-kun, and my colleagues in Tokyo, Mochiguchi-san. And experimental group led by President Tokuda. Probably he will come to this short workshop. Okay, so what is a scanner? I think many of you know this, but let me start by showing this nice picture written by Saint-Pierre and also Leon and those people in science journals. So at the very far away from the center, you have the spins all pointing up. But at the center, the spin pointing down. And between this zero and infinity, so you have a gradual rotation of the spins. So this is the scanion configurations. So why this is interesting? So because it is characterized by some topological number. So because this infinite radius is can be regarded as a single point because all the spin is pointing up, right? So then this two-dimensional plane could be regarded as S2, two-dimensional surface of the sphere. So then this is a mapping from the S2 to S2. Namely, this spin direction is a point in the unisphere in the three-dimensional space. So then pi to S2 is z, so this is an integer. So the topological number characterizing this configuration is given by this. So this is nothing but a solid angle made by this spin texture. And then this m scanion is an integer measuring how many times you wrap by this mapping from real space to inner sphere. So this is the reason why this spin structure is called topological. Actually, in the SU2, the CP1 formalism of the spin systems, so this n vector can be represented in terms of the z particles. So this sigma is a Pauli matrices, and then in terms of these representations, the Lagrangian for the spin system is just represented by this gauge here. So this AMU represents the U1 gauge field related to the so-called scalar spin chirality. Namely, the solid angle made by the electrons can be given by the rotation of this vector potential A. So that's why this scanning structure is characterized by the gauge potential and the flux, and also the winding number or wrapping number, so-called scanning integer.
Okay, so now if you have conduction electrons coupled to this spin texture, so this one will act as a magnetic field. So because if you take this strong Kunz coupling limit, then the wave function for each of the electrons is given by the two component spin law, and the effective Hopping integral from I to J is given by the inner product of the spin wave functions. So this spin wave function inner product becomes a complex number in general, and its magnitude is the cosine theta ij over 2. So this theta ij is the angle between these two spins, and the most important thing is this complex phase factor. And this complex phase factor, Aij, constitutes the effective gauge flux when the electron is moving around this triangle, for example. And this flux, phi, is proportional to the solid angle, and exactly the half of the solid angle. And this solid angle is made by these three spins. So that's why once you have this texture, spin texture, the conduction electron is feeling some sort of internal magnetic field. So this is the basic idea behind this story. Okay, now let me go to the real materials. So the target materials I'm interested in is so-called D20 structure, so-called helical magnets. So this is a cartoon for the crystal structure of this material, especially the manganese silicide is a representative material of this structure. So because of the absence of the invariant symmetry, so the Jarzynski-Moria interaction is allowed. So in the slowly bearing approximation, namely the continuum approximation, so the Hamiltonian is just given by this form. The first term is the exchange coupling, gradient n square, ferromagnetic exchange coupling. And the second term is the Jarzynski-Moria interaction. And the third term is the magnetic field Zeeman effect. So this naturally defines the length scale for the spiral, because this term naturally leads to the spiral with wave number, which is which magnitude is determined by the ratio of D over J. So then this is a Newton scattering experiment. So in the ambient pressure and low temperature regions, you have an order of this spiral along the 111 direction. So this direction is determined by the weak magnetic anisotropy, which is missed in this Hamiltonian. But if you apply the pressure furthermore, then there is a quantum phase transition occurs at some critical pressure. And beyond that, you have a rather uniform distribution of the intensity on the sphere in the momentum space. So the magnitude of this, namely the radius of this sphere, is determined by the D over J. So many theories have been proposed to describe this non-Fermi liquid space, because experimentally the transport has some non-Fermi liquid properties. But today I'm rather interested in this order phase. So still several interesting stuff arise.
What is the state is just a Fermi liquid or insulator?
Oh, it's a Fermi liquid. So it's a metal. Very good metal. Okay. So instead of the pressure, you can apply the magnetic field to this system. So this is a three-dimensional bulk system, the phase diagram. So this is a TC, and this is a magnetic field. And once you have this ordered state, so the most natural state is a helical state, where the spin is rotating in a plane perpendicular to the wave number Q. But if you increase the magnetic field, there occurs a so-called conical phase. So the conical phase is when you apply the magnetic field, there occurs a tilting of the spins parallel to the magnetic field with a Q vector parallel to the external magnetic field. So this is the most natural ground state under the external magnetic field.
Why doesn't that happen immediately? You apply it immediately.
Yeah, so globally there is some anisotropy. Yeah, but probably I think in that Hamiltonian I showed you, so then there is no threshold, so the conical angle increases linearly. But now this is not so interesting, but there is some interesting phase which has been the puzzle for many years. So so-called A phase. So near the first order phase transition, there is some tiny regions where. The structure of the magnetic spin system was not so clear. But recently, there is a German papers published in Nature journal, Science journals, and showing that there occurs some triangular lattice of some crystal. So this they analyze in terms of the theoretical analysis and concluded that this is a sort of the triangular crystal of the scanions. So this scanion, this is a single scanion, is a little bit different from what I showed you at the very beginning, because you have the local Gerasimski Moria spiral, right? So then from center to the infinite, you have a rotation which is perpendicular to the wave number. Right? So that's why you have some 90-degree rotation of the spin system compared with the conventional scanion system I showed you at the beginning. But in any case, this also has a wrapping number, maybe the scanion number, which is unity or minus unity, depending on the direction of the external magnetic field. So this scanion forms a triangular lattice in this A phase. So the logic is the following. Once you apply the external magnetic field, so you have a uniform component of the spins, and in the Ginzburg-Randall expansion, you have a so-called M fourth order terms, quotic terms, right? And then one component becomes a uniform, and then the Q1 plus Q2 plus Q3 zero component becomes active. So then if you have these three wave numbers in the momentum space, then this term contributes. So once you have these three components, and with the appropriate relationship of the relative phase of the three components, so then you can make this scanion structure. So this has been published in 2009. So these are three-dimensional materials. But now we actually were working on the similar problem, but because the computer capacity is not so large, then we restrict ourselves to the two-dimensional systems. And then we did the Monte Carlo simulation of these two-dimensional helical magnetic systems under the magnetic field and also the anisotropy. And interestingly, this is a low temperature limit, zero temperature phase diagram. Still, we have a rich phase diagram, including the single spiral, so-called helical state, and the triangular lattice of the scanions, and also the quasi one-dimensional scanion, and the so-called square lattice of the scanion, and so on. So this is a zero temperature limit. So remember that in the case of 3D, in the zero temperature limit, your ground state is always conical, not a scanion crystal.
So in 2D, sorry, there you've just fixed K and A1, have you? I mean, well, they don't appear in the phase diagram, but there's a finite K.
K is, yes, I fixed the K.
You picked the K.
Yeah.
But presumably it depends on that? I mean, if you just turn off...
Yeah, actually, it doesn't change so much, but the size of the scanion, namely the length in the momentum space, depends on K over J. But the global structure of the phase diagram does not change so much.
But there has to be.
As long as the K is smaller than J. Okay? So now, this is a zero temperature phase diagram. And then for each of the phase, I showed you the distribution of the scalar spin chirality with the solid angle. And then also we calculated the sigma xy and confirmed that this spin chirality is proportional to the sigma xy, namely the whole conductivity for the conduction electron coupled to this spin structure. So this is a two-dimensional phase diagram and sigma xy. So then, motivated by our calculations, this experimental group tried to find the scanion crystal in the thin film of helical magnet. Because this Lorentz TEM requires the transmissions of the electron through the sample, then the sample should be very thin. So then, ideally, this is a two-dimensional system. So then we expect a more stable structure, stability of the scanion crystal in these two-dimensional systems. So if you increase the magnetic field, for smaller magnetic field, you have this helical, single helical structure. So these are calculations, and this is the experiment. And this is the calculation, and this is the experiment. Almost a one-to-one correspondence between the two. And this is a zoom out of the experimental observation. So this Lorentz pen can measure the direction of the spin in plane. Namely, the electron is transmitted perpendicular to the two-dimensional system, and also pick up the in-plane component of the spin. So the, due to the Lorentz force, the electron trajectory is modified or distorted, and then you can image the in-plane component of the magnetization.
What is the color?
Color is direction. Sorry, I missed it. Yeah, so this color corresponds to the direction. So the blue one becomes means this direction, and the green one this, and the red means.
So the arrows are drawn in this guide to the eye?
Yeah, this is a guide to the eye by interpreting this.
But why isn't there another color at the top? I mean, why is the red at the bottom, or is the phone?
Oh, okay. So this black one corresponds to the, there is no implant component. So then here you have up, and here you have a down. So that's why the color becomes brown.
Yeah, but the top of the donut, why isn't there a different color?
This?
Yeah.
This and this? Sorry. Yeah, probably the similar, right? Here is the red, and here is the blue and the green. So just darkness is slightly different. Okay, so now this is a correspondence between the experimental phase diagram and the theoretical phase diagram by the Monte Carlo simulations. And this is a snapshot of the spin configurations for each of the points, right? So here you have these regions, right? So you have a mixture of the helical structure and the skarmions. This is a Monte Carlo simulation. So as you can see, this skarmion appears as a topological defect of the spiral, single spiral structure. Right? And then the crystallization occurs for these skarmions here and here. And eventually, at this point and at this point, so there is a gas state of the skarmions. So the crystal melts, but still the individual skarmion is identified in this region. So from this, we are quite sure that this Jonchinsky-Moya model works for this two-dimensional helical magnet synchronous. So this is that.
So supposedly experimental system, so these are itinerant electrons?
Yeah, this is a magnetic system. Sorry, this is an iron cobalt silicide and 0.5 alloy.
Yeah, but the model is a spin-only model.
Sorry?
The model is a spin-only model, I mean, so you... How do you go from one to
another? Yeah, because this is a classical spin system, so we are not talking about the dynamics, quantum dynamics. So when you are talking about the quantum dynamics of the spin system, probably you need to worry about the dissipation. But we just determine the thermal equilibrium configuration of the spin system.
The main transition is a weak ferromagnet from the titanium electron or the local motion.
Of course, under magnetic field, we have a uniform magnetization, but the result magnetic field, so it's dominating.
Yeah.
It's a hit up.
But this local magnetization is, I think his question is whether it's local moment or is it a titanium electron.
Actually, I'm thinking about this Summit-Hubbard type theory. So the U-turn can be translated into the spin moment coupled to the conduction electron. So
I can.
Yeah, I can. So now, actually, this theory can be formulated in the Z-particle again, namely the CP1 representations.
But in that case, this Jochen-Schimoria interaction can be written in terms of the SU2 non-abelian gauge field. And this is a U1 gauge field, and the action can be written in this way. So then we can draw a very natural analogy to the vortex lattice state to these models. Namely, if you apply the magnetic field, then this Zeeman term drives the formation of the scallions, and then this vortex lattice of the superconducting state of this Z particle is nothing but the scallion crystals. So you can estimate the energy of the spiral and the ferromagnetism, and also the it's a blue one in the scanning. So you have a spiral to scanning to ferromagnetic transitions in this field. And this transition is a first order phase transition. So this has been published in
2010.
Okay, and another recent development in this static structure of the scanion is due to the dipolar interaction. So previously we talked about the Jarzynski-Moria interaction, but now even without the relativistic spin orbit interaction, you can have scanions. So actually, this dipolar magnet has been discussed many years ago from the viewpoint of the magnetic memory. And this size of the bubble is much larger compared with scanions. So remember that the scanions I discussed for the Jarzynski-Moria is typically 50 nanometers in size, but this one is much larger. And, you can see some change of the colors, white and blue, for the crystal structure of the bubbles. And actually, this bubble is nothing but a scanion, but the rotating angle, in-plane component of the rotating angle, could be right-handed or left-handed, or clockwise or anti-clockwise, because that sort of the helicity degrees of freedom is depth, still active in this dipolar ferromagnet. So the reason is that in the case of Jarzynski-Moria, the sign of the Jarzynski-Moria interaction determines the direction of the rotation for the scanion structure. But in the dipolar case, you do not have such a... you can choose any direction. So that's why the rotating reaction is random, even for the crystal state of the scanions. So this helicity degrees of freedom gives many complicated and complex structure of the scanions. And actually, even in this single helical state, you have complex structure of the spin rotating angles. So it is not one way. Sometimes it goes back and forth because this helicity is not fixed by this dipolar interaction.
So when you come back to manganese silicium, you're saying the proof of that Jarzynski-Moria is that the fact that you only get one sign of it,
exactly.
plus the length.
And sometimes you have some crystal structure. There are two ways to have an inversion symmetry breaking. And then the sign of the Jarzynski-Moria is reversed. Then the direction of this in-plane component is also reversed. So the scanion number is determined only by the magnetic field direction and does not depend on the sign of the Jarzynski-Moria. Okay, so even for this scanion structure, you have this, you can see this black part twice measured from this ferromagnetic regions. So this is because the direction of the spiral, local spiral, goes back and forth, and sometimes you have a Z component several times if you go from outer side to the center.
So So then we take into account this dipolar-dipolar interaction in the free energy and minimize the Fourier component of the spin structure numerically. And there are several metastable configurations of the spins. So there are very subtle competition between the different types of scalar structure in the stripes and their coexistence and so on. And correspondingly, experimentally, there are several very amazing structures observed in this dipolar ferromagnetic systems. So the correspondence is not so exactly one-to-one, but in any case, we have a variety of this spin texture in the dipolar ferromagnetic. So this might be a very interesting problem. But up to now, this is a sort of an introduction. So the main part of my talk is for the dynamics of the stars. So because you can regard this as a kind of a particles in the Heli magnets. And because the solid angle is there, you can define the internal magnetic field like that. And also, once the scandium moves, you have a time dependence of the N field, and then you create the electric field. Okay? So this is a sort of internal electromagnetic field. And once you have a conduction electron, so the current of the conduction electron J is coupled to the A in the usual form. And this coupling term gives you several interesting consequences. So the one is that this Boltzmann equation for the conduction electron is influenced by the external and the internal electromagnetic field. So you have a capital E plus small e and capital H plus small h. And in addition, this J will affect the dynamics of the spin because the A is related to the spin structure N. Then if you take the variations of this Lagrangian, including this coupling term, there appears some spin transfer torque terms. Namely, N dot contains this J dot gradient of N. So this term is coming from the spin transfer torque. So the spin transfer torque is once you have a spatial variation of the spin structure, the electronic current can change the momentum. So from the conservation of the angular momentum, so this gives you the motions of the spin structure. So that physics is contained in this first term. Okay. So this is a usual torque term, and this is a damping term. So-called the Gilbert damping. So this is people call the Landau-Lipschitz Gilbert equations. So these two equations should be coupled to analyze the electromagnetic response of the scanning systems coupled to the conduction electrons. So the first thing is that once you have a scanning configuration, this H is uniform. H is finite for the scanning structure. So even though you have some spatial variations of the H field, so you have a non-zero average of the magnetic field, small h. So that leads to the Hall effect of the conduction electron. So actually, only in the A phase, people already observed some additional contribution of the Hall signal, only in the A phase. So that's why they identify this as a topological origin due to the scaling formations. And that also happens under external pressure, and only in these tiny regions they have some additional Hall signal. This has been reported by Kwang Ong's group. And then they suspect that this one is also the scaling phase under the pressure next to the non-ferrum liquid regions. So there is some hint that this non-ferrum liquid is somehow related to the scanners because this phase is nearby. Okay, so in summary, once you have a scanner, you have a small H field. Here I write B, but this is a small H field. right? And this H field gives you the Lorentz force for the motions of the conduction electrons. So that leads to the Hall effect, right? So replacing the external magnetic field by the internal magnetic field due to the sun formation. So this expectation is confirmed experimentally because we already know the size of the scanion and the effective flux or the magnetic field produced by the scanion is inversely proportional to the square of the size of the scanions. Right. And it could be 1,000 tesla for the size of the 3 nanometers, and like that. And this correspondence is quite well reproduced experimentally because the additional Hall signal is roughly corresponding to the size of the internal magnetic field. So this is a recent experimental studies made by Tokrasan group. So the most recently, people are interested in the motion of the scanion. As I mentioned, by the external current through the spin torque transfer, spin transfer torque mechanism, you can drive the motion of the scanions. And actually, this German group reported the motion of the scanions with a critical threshold current around 10 to the 6 ampere per meter squared. So this is actually the surprisingly small value because for the ferromagnetic domain wall motion, people are discussing the critical current density typically 10 to the 2, 10 to the 10 or 10 to the 12. It's six orders of magnitude smaller. So then this one is attracting the many interest of the syntronics people. So now, motivated by this recent experiment, we have constructed a theory for the dynamics of the scanions. And especially once you have a motion of the scanion, there occurs a motion of the magnetic flux associated with that motion. So then the internal electric field is induced by the motion of the scanions perpendicular to the direction of the velocity. So this gives you some additional Hall signal in addition to the topological Hall effect I just described. Then as a function of the external current, I expect some reduction of the Hall signal like that. So because this is a topological Hall effect and this is some additional contribution. So now this prediction is actually confirmed recently by German group again. So about the threshold current, you have a reduction of the Hall signal. So that's why you are very happy with this. And now, let me go quickly. And then, so if you look at the dynamics of the scanions, so you can translate the original Weiss-Zeugner-Witten term for the spin derivatives into the derivatives for the center of mass motion of the scanion. So from this, you can easily see that X and Y component of the center of mass of the scanion is a canonical conjugate relationship between the due to this derivatives term. And then the sign of the scanion number determines the X and Y commutation relationship. Okay. So then we expect kind of a scanion Hall effect. By the external current, you produce some velocity perpendicular to the current directions. So in real materials, so you have an infinity pinning, and then the question is how the infinity pinning affects the motion of the scanions. So concerning that, recently we developed the simulation of the scanion motions under the external current
So here is Gilbert damping term, and here is a non-adiabatic effect in this steam transfer torque, right? And by increasing the magnetic field, we have a spiral, scalar crystal, and a ferromagnetic state. And let me show you some movie for the motions of the. So here is the direction of the current, and sometimes this corresponds exactly to the pinning of the charge density. And here is the infinity side, where I introduce some easy axis anisotropy, so that pin the motion of the spirals. And sometimes it is distorted, and sometimes they pin, and you have some intermittent motions
driven by the current. Take that.
So these are typical motions of the single spiral. But in the case of the scanions, the situation is very different. So here is a scanion crystal, and here is the infinity side. And because the scanion, between the scanion, you have a ferromagnetic regions, and the pinning does not alter for these ferromagnetic regions. And this scanion can avoid this infinity centers quite effectively. So that is the reason why the critical current density is so small for the scanion. So this is a zoom up. So here is the infinity, and you can see this scanion will avoid this infinity center quite effectively.
That.
This is a current velocity relationship for the scanions. So this curve is exactly the same as is expected from the steam transfer torque. But this red one and the purple one is for the single spiral case. So you have a strong threshold, large threshold current, but this scanion is free from the pinning. So this is quite a difference between the scanion motions and the domain wall motions. And also we have an enhancement of the scanion Hall effect for the smaller value of the current. And the reason why you can avoid this pinning center is again the commutation relationship between this x and y, because this equation motions. Once you have some attractive centers, then you have a rotation around this attractive center instead of the attraction. So that's why you can effectively avoid the infinity center in this scanion dynamics.
Okay. And also, recently we considered the Brownian motion of the scanions,
and actually in equilibrium, so you have a rotation of these scanion crystals. So these are simulations by stochastic random equations.
And surprisingly,
this one is observed by Lorentz TEM recently. So here is a black spot Fourier transformation. So you can see the rotation of this black spot, and this is a real space image. So you can see the rotation of the scanion crystals. Very similar to the simulations back then. So the reason why we have this rotation is that if you have two scanions, right? So this is an inter-particle, inter-scanion potentials. Then due to this formula, you have a rotation of the two particles. due to this interparticle interaction. And actually, this interparticle distributions of the distance depends on the temperature, and that leads to the monotonous temperature dependence of the rotation velocity of the fragments. Here is the simulation, and here is the experiment. So they seem to be quite consistent with each other. So that's why this fragment will be rotated in thermal equilibrium without any external input of the energy. Sorry to be late. So I hope I have convinced you that this non-collinear spin structure and its very phase is quite interesting. And we have some generalized electromagnetism in this magnetic systems. And especially this fermion contains a very interesting physics, like a topological Hall effect, and emergent electromagnetic induction, and also scandium Brownian motion with rotation dynamics. Thank you very much for your attention.
You mentioned this analogy with vortex motions and superconductors.
Yeah.
I mean, how far can you push it? Because people have done a lot of simulations and vortex movement and
I think in the case of superconductors, so the motion is over them. So in our case, it is under them. So that's why mostly your scattering velocity is parallel to the external current. In the case of superconductor, it is the opposite. I mean the perpendicular. So that this damping gives you some slight Hall angle, small Hall angle. But once you have infinity thing, so this Hall angle could be enhanced tremendously. So that is observed by our simulation.
You were speaking about the when there is thermal fluctuations, the rotation of the crystal. Couldn't there be also phonons directly of that crystal, and would they be important?
Phonons is phonons of the scattering crystal.
Right.
Yeah, but usually the phonon does not contain this motion as a whole.
Right.
And also it's a small amplitude vibrations.
Okay.
So these are more non-partable motions.
So you say phonons are not.
And the problem is this whole crystal cannot move.
Mm-hmm.
So if you increase the size of this micro crystal, so the rotation velocity gets slower and slower. And then probably in reality you have some domain structure for the rotation of the crystal. But from the real space image, I cannot see this domain structure well, because the black spot is rather well defined, and that is rotating rather continuously.
Can you have multiple charge skirmions?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think this is already slightly charged. Because you have a sigma x bar, then once you have a B, so there is a charge. This is a Chan-Hermann star.
So they carry charge?
Yeah, but very small, I think. Yeah, they carry charge.
So you showed that the skirmion sees some kind of magnetic field which is proportional to the skirmion density.
Yeah.
The central mass motion. Does that mean the skirmion itself carry non-trivial statistics?
Yeah, once you are talking about the quantum mechanics of the skirmion, I think I agree. But at the moment, this is a very big spin structure, so the quantum effect is rather difficult to
observe. But if it is charged, then it is something.
Even for the crystal particle? So you're talking about the statistics.
Of skirmion itself,
yeah.
Central mass motion sees something like that, which is proportional to the skirmion density.
For VR cases. charge in the skin is pretty coupled. That forms at this, you know, probability experiment. But
these colorful plots you have shown about this kingdom crystal. So there are, it's related to the previous question I think. There are three dominant colors appearing. Red, blue and green. Is it somehow related to the symmetry of the Hamiltonian, like cubic symmetry or
actually but in this case the skin anisotropy is quite small because the size of the scanner is really large compared with the Lattice constant. So this is almost free from the anisotropy. Very weak. So I think I understand your question. If you look at some discontinuity, but in reality it's mostly rotate. But this is just a problem of the color problem. Yeah, it's a continuous kind of rotations. There is no...
At the very beginning, you showed that the topological mapping giving the Skirmion was at a group of Z. So there could, is everything you showed here for a Z equal to 1 Skirmion?
Yeah.
What would a Z equal to 2 Skirmion look like, and could we get it in condensed matter?
Actually, I have no figure, but there is some binding of the two scanners, of the so-called bi-scanners, with any script. But in that case, you have a different chirality in brain component. So as I said, it is for the bipolar interaction with the system. There are two heuristics, right? So the imprint component determines the attraction or repulsion. Then the different heuristics, but the same scalar number bind with just features. We call it by scalar.
Thank you.
Okay.